Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen. Podcasting since 2005.
Take it out.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
Back on the scene.
With your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Here we go.
Welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 592. This is your host, Danny, and also joining me this week, Gamertag Radio crew. Let's go with Paris. Paris, co-host of the show. What's up, Paris?
Not much, man. It's been a long day. But here we are once again talking about video games.
Are you ready for next week? Call of Duty XP?
Yeah. Like we were just saying offline, I'm going to be interested to see what they do since we still don't know the time for media on Thursday. I'm curious what they have cooked up for us.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting, man. And honestly, what they have planned for the whole weekend too, besides the tournaments and all that stuff, you know.
Well, so I know they're doing a paintball thing again because I was reading about that. I mean, think about it; it's just a big celebration for the fans, man. That's Call of Duty XP is about. So, like I said, when they did it a few years ago, it was fun, man. It was just a ton of people there. Everyone's just enjoying the game. There's no drama, crazy stuff. It was just a fun time. I think Kanye played there, something like that.
Yep.
Yeah. So it was a good time. So I'm sure they're going to do something similar this year.
Well, any of the listeners that plan to attend, let us know. You can hit us up via email or voicemail, or hit us up on Twitter or Facebook. We'll try to meet up over there and everything. So, and also joining us is Pete.
What is up?
What's going on, Pete? What's up with you, man?
I'm hanging in there. Still somewhat salty from Monday night's raid attempt with Paris and his son.
Ooh.
But no, we're going to get back in it. We're going to do it.
Yeah, I think you guys are planning to do this again, right?
I think we're trying to do it tonight, if I'm not mistaken. Correct, Mr. Lilly?
Well, it would be without my son
because we got
in trouble.
Oh no.
To my defense, though, I did say that. I did say, hey, we might be getting a little late for him. Yeah. So.
Huh.
Apologies.
Well, really, let's just blame Mandy, because if she would have stopped dying, then we could have.
Let's just blame her. Man, that's cold. That's cold, man. Last week I was listening to the show and people were like, man, should we even mention the intro? Look, this one, I'm going to save the introduction of the podcast, the website, and everything later during this episode. But I think we should just start off very quick. Your thoughts about this PlayStation 4 Slim leak?
Well, my thoughts is, I mean, it was a no-brainer that they were going to do this. It's not surprising. It was funny watching it unfold on social media and on NeoGAF because, you know, it originally popped up with just the box, which I guess the person that bought it at an auction site or something, whatever, in the UK, sent it over to the guys at Kind of Funny Games. And, it was blowing up on social media. It kind of went on NeoGAF and everyone was, oh, it's fake. It's fake. Look at the Photoshop. That's not real. The logo, you know, everyone's just overanalyzing it. And then sure enough, it pops up, you know, the dude showing the unboxing, the whole thing, Eurogamer, you know, the digital founder, what was his name? Richard. I forget his last name off the top of my head, but he actually went to the dude's house and saw it and confirmed it. And then it was found legit. It was real, you know? So I'm not surprised. But my one complaint about it, and it's a somewhat selfish complaint, I understand that Sony is making this thing as cheap as possible. And if you really look at it, they've definitely streamlined it, and they're going basically bottom line as much as possible, because I think this thing's going to be $250 or less on September 7th.
Yeah, I think so too.
I don't like that there isn't an optical port, and because I use Astro headsets, mm-hmm. and they use the optical port. So selfishly, I don't like that I'd have to get a separate adapter to use that. I truly hope that Neo does not do the same thing, that does have an optical port. But it, to me, doesn't make sense that Sony would squeeze out some of their big headset partners that way by taking away the optical port. So I'm assuming Neo is still going to have the optical port. But this PlayStation 4, this Slim, whatever you want to call it, I'm guessing it's going to be $250 or less on September 7th. Buy it now or buy it in a week, whenever when they announce it. And then, you know, they're going to, their big marketing tag is we're the cheapest console this holiday. That's what they're going to go for.
Here's the thing. Let's talk about the design. Cause honestly,
doesn't
Paris,
matter.
The first, yes, it matters. I think the original PlayStation 4 console looks a lot better than this one. This one looks ugly, man. I'm a little bit worried because
why does that matter though? That's my question. Seriously, you look at it probably two times and it sits under your television. You play games on it. I'm serious.
I'm just personally, I like to have gadgets as, you know, well designed. Like I love the Xbox One S. Even you said it, man, it looks really nice, but I don't feel like buying it. I rather prefer to wait till the Scorpio comes out, right? Aren't you a little bit worried because of the Neo is coming out too pretty soon? Do you think it's also going to have a pretty ugly design like this one?
That's my point, Danny. That could be the Neo, and I would still get it because I don't care what it looks like. I guess that's all I'm saying. I've never been like the Xbox One looked like a big giant microwave oven toaster or something. I don't know what you want to call it.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
But it still played the games. So the only complaint with that was it was so big, not the way it looked, just
the
that
VCR,
it was so big.
The VCR memories.
Yeah. I mean, Xbox One S looks really nice though, man.
Yeah.
But I don't feel like buying this stuff, you know. But here's the thing. You did mention that this is going to be the cheapest console. And this is the thing that we've been talking about too offline is that their argument from Microsoft, they could say, well, we have 4K streaming for $299, you don't have that with a $250 console.
You don't
right.
know that.
And then the argument is going to be that's not the majority of the market right now either, though. Yeah, it's great that the Xbox One S has 4K. I mean, it's going to be great that the Neo is going to have 4K. But Sony's going to then say mom and pop who still has a 720p television who has no interest in getting a 4K TV right now, you can get our PlayStation 4 for probably Black Friday, probably $200 bucks, something like that, or a bundle deal at $250. They're going to say, look, we're offering you the cheapest option to play our entire library of games. That's going to be Sony's pitch with that bargain basement PlayStation 4. And it makes sense, you know, just like again, just bringing Microsoft back into it. The $299 for that Xbox One S is a great deal for what it is, right? I don't think anyone's going to argue that. It's a sexy piece of hardware. It does the 4K, all that. And I wish my daughter would stop screaming for my other daughter because my other daughter's not here.
The one thing I do like, and I'm actually going to counter you, Danny, I actually don't mind the aesthetic as much. I like the functionality that this new PS4 Slim is offering. Because, I mean, to this day, I still get confused as to which button I need to press to eject a disc. Or to turn it on.
Same here.
I literally just did it just now. I pressed the wrong button trying to turn the thing off.
And it happens every time. I'm like, damn, now I got to press the wrong. Now I got to wait for the disc to come out and I got to press the other button. I don't have to worry about it anymore. Now I can just press the button. I know it's clearly defined in the front. I'm also in the same wheelhouse with Paris with the lack of an optical port. Is that confirmed?
Oh, yeah. Because you look on the unboxing, there's no optical port.
Yeah, that is going to be a major question mark. Yeah, because I'm looking at the back and I'm seeing the HDMI and the yeah. Although is that three, maybe four USB ports, which I think it looks like it's giving you more USB ports than the current one. So that's not a,
I thought it was just two on the front and one on the back. I thought.
All right, I'm wondering if maybe that's just the look of that's just where the disk drive slot is, and it's given the appearance of one. I'm looking at one of the pictures from the guy Shortman 82 that posted it originally. But yeah, I don't think it's a day one purchase. So I know you get more bang of, you know, out of your PS4 than probably Danny and myself combined. Do you see yourself getting this day one, or do you think
I have zero interest in this. I have no plans to get this at all. I mean, my son has his PlayStation 4. I have mine. Even if I didn't get a Neo, there would be no reason for me to get the Slim. If anything, you're taking away a function that I actively use with the optical port. So, no, I wouldn't get one. But like I've said, my plan is I'm going to get the Neo and then I'm going to sell my current PlayStation 4. That's my plan. You know, just because, again, the Neo, game-wise or not, I mean, it has a 4K Blu-ray player in it and probably do HDR and all that stuff. I mean, we'll see more on September 7th. but I'm for sure getting a Neo, you know, and that'll be my primary PlayStation 4.
Here's my question, though. I think that Sony is going to say this console is available now or tomorrow, the next day, like during their press conference. But if they do announce PlayStation 4 Neo, are they going to release this the next month, November, what? Because it's two consoles the same year, plus PlayStation VR.
What are you talking about? You're talking about, is Sony going to release Neo?
Yeah, still.
I think October. If I had to guess,
But does that make sense from a business standpoint to release two different consoles, two separate
plus
months?
VR?
But you have to remember, the Slim is just replacing the current PlayStation 4. They don't make the current PlayStation 4 anymore. They're only making the Slim. So that is your base PlayStation 4. That's your bargain
Neo
basement
ready
price.
PlayStation 4 or
and
whatever.
Then they're going to have a Neo PlayStation 4 with a 4K, probably at $399, right? They're probably going to put that out along with VR at the same time. Because like I was saying the last couple weeks, my theory is Neo is the key to the true fidelity to PlayStation VR. Yeah, VR will work on PlayStation 4, but it's going to be a downgraded experience. So Neo is what's going to probably unlock its full potential. So I think they're going to want that on the market. And like I said, they got to just do one hell of a sales job on September 7th. That's why I'm very curious to see how the wording is going to be. But no, I think Neo's coming. I think, like I said, we've been speculating since E3, obviously. But my current theory is they were caught off guard by Scorpio. They probably second guessed it and then ultimately decided go ahead with our original plan. And I think their original plan has always been this Slim and a Neo and PlayStation VR all to come out in the September, October frame. Just my opinion.
Do you think they were also surprised with Xbox One S too? Because now they're also releasing a PlayStation 4 Slim.
No, I don't think One S has anything to do with the Slim, because think about it. The Slim doesn't do 4K at all. Like I said, they're not promoting this Slim to compete with Xbox One S. They're just making a cheaper PlayStation 4 so they can sell it at a lower price and still make profit on it. You know what I mean? That's what I think. I think they're going to get this thing down to 250, still be able to make money on it, and it's going to be the lowest priced next gen console option this holiday. And people are going to still be buying it.
Yeah. I mean, look, if you're a parent, you don't care about the power or 4K, none of that stuff. You only care about the price. You get to see that console for a cheap price and you see the Xbox One S for $299, you're going to go with a cheaper one.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It makes sense.
Every day.
It makes sense. Now, what about the controller? Do you think battery-wise is going to be better than the current one that we have?
Well, the early reports are it's using the same exact battery as the current one. But I don't know. Maybe they did something under the hood to optimize and get more out of the same battery, because you cannot tell me they're going to put out a new controller and it still has the same bad battery life. They have to improve that battery life.
Yeah, I'm not really a fan of that battery at all, man, of that controller. Like, it doesn't last.
I don't know. When we were doing the raid the other night with Mandy and Pete, halfway through, all of a sudden my battery started dying. I had to swap to my other controller.
Yeah, see, I haven't had that problem yet, so I'm kind of happy in that regard. But I the more I play on this thing, the more I have a feeling I may have to just go ahead and start looking into a second controller for that fear alone. I mean, I've been pretty good at every time I'm done with a game session, I go ahead and I plug my thing and put it into rest mode, go plug my Astros into two separate power sources and stuff. But yeah, I'm wondering if maybe I just need to do that so that I don't have that concern, you know, later on in life.
Oh, and going back to what Pete was alluding to earlier when he was saying with you as far as the look of the Neo, not the Neo, but the look of the Slim.
Yeah.
I personally don't mind it. It doesn't look ugly to me. I mean, I just think, hey, it's just a more condensed look of the original PlayStation 4. I mean, I think it's okay. I don't look at it and think it's an eyesore. If anything, it kind of reminds me of an Apple TV more than anything.
Now, I think that maybe when the PlayStation 4 Neo gets announced, they probably will have a better controller for the Neo. Because there's been rumors that Sony might be working on like a special elite controller type for PlayStation 4. Don't know if that's true or not.
Could be. I mean, the fact that they're coming out with that adapter now so that the DualShock 4 can work on the PC, you know, be more accessible to work on the PC because, you know, not every PC has Bluetooth. So they obviously, in PlayStation Now is obviously coming to the PC as well. So they obviously want PlayStation 4 to be used more on the PC because right now Microsoft virtually owns that market on PC side. If you're going to use a controller, it's almost a no-brainer to pick up an Xbox One controller or an Elite controller. So if Sony wants to try and compete with that, maybe.
Which would you prefer, though, having played now with the PlayStation controller exclusively for a year now, would you still default and prefer the Windows / Xbox controller on PC?
Well, that's the thing. I technically probably use the Xbox One controller more than I use the PlayStation 4 controller because that's the controller I use on the PC.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, if you told me right now I had to choose between one of them, I'd probably stick with the Xbox controller because I almost feel like that one is the more widely adopted one. You know, obviously on Xbox games, but even just on PC games with third party, because when you pull up a PC game and you select controller support, 9 times out of 10, it has an Xbox, you know, button scheme layout.
Right.
You know, because that's the preferred one. So I would stick with that because like, for example, Steam controller, it's very rare that I touch that thing, you know, at this point. You know, hey, it was a neat idea and everything, but I can't justify using it. I'd have to force myself to use it over picking up an Xbox controller or just doing keyboard and mouse.
Yeah. It depends on the game.
That's what I'm saying. Even like Civilization, because it's not like I'm really sitting out there with my Steam Link playing Civilization on my big screen. I'm usually in the office if I play Civilization. So I just default to keyboard and mouse because that's what it's built to do. I mean, yeah, it does work on a Steam controller, but it still doesn't feel natural to use. With a Steam controller is what I'm trying to say. Again, I'd have to force myself to use it.
No, I just finally received my Steam machine from Alienware. Shout out to Alienware and the whole Dell team. Thanks for helping me out and stuff. Now my console works and everything. But while I was away, I connected my Steam controller on my Mac and I was playing some Steam games like that. And it worked fine. I mean, it depends on the game. Some games I prefer to have the Xbox One controller. So, and I'm not one of those type of people that play, you know, with the mouse and keyboard. It's not for me. I prefer to play it with a controller. Right, but hey, everybody's different, you know? So
by the way, before we move on, I just a little security tip to throw out there to everyone. Turn on two-factor authentication for your GOG account and for your Steam account, because in the last week, I've gotten notifications for both where there's been suspicious activity where people have been obviously trying to hack into my account, but because I have two-factor on, they can't do it. So just a reminder, and I think Origin does it as well, but I don't even have Origin installed right now, so I can't verify it.
You might have to, though.
Yeah, I might need to. But
got a couple weeks to go. Man.
I know. Battlefield 1 and all that coming out. But yeah, man, I mean, it's a simple thing to do. Like, I have it set up that whenever I need to log into Steam, I have to put in a code from my phone.
Yeah, you
know,
same here.
Just mandatory because you never know, man. And I do that for all my Google accounts and for work stuff as well. But it's just don't trust. Hey, I have a very complex password. I'm good. No, if someone is targeting you and if someone wants to get into your account, they will get in your account. That is a 100% guarantee.
Basically, his password is I'm a 42-year-old man from St. Pete, Florida, man.
43.
Exclamation points and angry faces.
Oh my god, it's awesome, man. But you guys are planning to try that PlayStation on PC, or you not interested at all?
Nah, I don't have any interest in it.
I've had this PlayStation Plus account now for it'll be a year in December, and I've never downloaded any of the free stuff. So it was essentially my Uncharted 4 and Destiny machine. That's all it's currently used for.
And that's what I use mine for. I mean, like I said, full disclosure, it's because I play Destiny on it. Other than that, I'm really just playing stuff on the PC. That actually just kind of leads into something else. I mean, in the United States, you know, Sony's raising the price of PlayStation Plus to $60 from $50. But I just saw earlier today, I guess in Europe, prices stay the same. So I don't know if that just has to do with the currency conversion rates or whatever. But, you know, it's like you want to complain about it, but this is the first time they've raised the price in, what, 5 or 6 years? Something like that.
It can't be mad.
It, you know, if you add up all the games that you get through PlayStation Plus, it's like, look, do I want to pay more? Absolutely not. But at the same time, I kind of sort of get it. I get, you know what I mean? To the point, I'm not going to boycott Sony now because they raised it $10 or whatever. And again, if you're smart and you hustle, you can find deals out there to get it a lot cheaper than $60. The same has been with that, like, same with Xbox Live for years too. Never pay full price because you can always find it cheaper somewhere else.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Sure. I don't know. You know, you and I had this conversation offline. It's really coming down to, like, for me, there's no point for me to pay for Xbox Live Gold anymore because I don't have an Xbox console, and on Xbox Anywhere, I can do the multiplayer stuff for free on Windows 10. So me paying for PlayStation Plus makes sense, obviously, because that's where I play Destiny and stuff like that. But like for you, Danny, it's the opposite. Why pay for PlayStation Plus? You're not playing multiplayer games on PlayStation, right? So you should.
I did.
Yeah, but you get what I'm saying, though. The majority of your games that you're playing multiplayer on are on Xbox Live, or you could just play them on Steam, you know, on your Steam machine or whatever. So I'm really getting to the point where, if I'm going to pay for one, if I'm going to pay for that stuff, I'm just going to pay for one. I'm not paying for both anymore. I don't see a reason.
I just got an email from Sony like a couple of days ago that my subscription has ended due to payment failure. And the reason why is because I just took my credit card information out. And I feel that I don't want to be paying two accounts. It just doesn't make sense for me anymore. I'm focusing now more on Xbox Live and also Steam. I'll play that online. And I'm just probably will play more like single player games on my PlayStation 4. And that's
so you've officially tapped out from the Sony experience.
No, because I still have my games and I'm still going to be playing single player games. So it's not really tapping out. I just don't want to be paying for both. I mean, does it make sense to be paying $120 every year for both consoles? And one I play more than the other, it just doesn't make no sense. So if you play more PlayStation, go with that and forget about Xbox. Either way, if you play a lot of Xbox, go with Xbox and forget about PlayStation. You know, Nintendo's going to be free, so don't worry about that. You know, the key is I'd rather use that money to buy a game or try to do something with it on the side, you know, to save that money, you know. So,
yeah. But before I forget, I have to bring this up. I attended something that I can't talk about just yet. I can talk about it next week. But said thing that I attended, I got to play No Man's Sky on the PC today.
Really?
Yes.
Interesting.
Yes.
And?
It is a hot freaking mess. Oh my God. Even the dude that was setting me up on the PC to complain it as he's loading it up through Steam, dude, it was lagging on the title screen, like just so much lag
on PC.
Like, oh, this looks terrible. Oh my God, it's so bad. They need to patch the hell out of this game. Hello Game Ninja trying to get me. Excuse me. But I sat down, you know, I flew around in the ship, I landed on the planet, and you are so slow going through the planet, scanning stuff and shooting things, get your resources and all that. And they got the little markers with like points of interest that you got to go to. And it was taking forever to get. Dude, I got bored. I played it for probably about 45 minutes. I'm like,
45 minutes took you long to walk?
And I'm like, I don't think I want. I accomplished nothing in 45 minutes, you know, on that planet. It'll be a while. Like, I think it was Polygon had an article about that No Man's Sky will be like Destiny in that a year from now, it'll be a completely different game. You won't recognize it from at launch. God, I hope so. And when that happens, you let me know, because then I'll check it out again, because literally my 1 hour experience with No Man's Sky today turned me off. It really
did. It was only one planet for you?
Yeah. And it was so slow. Wow. I kept asking, I go, is there a sprint button on here? I kept saying it because I didn't know. I was like, can I move faster? Why am I going so slow? I didn't like it. I truly did not like that experience. And I'm not saying it to just be a grumpy old 42-year-old hater from St. Petersburg. I'm saying it because that's just what it was. It was just too, it was too slow for my taste. I needed to be quicker. Because you're exploring, right? You want to get to all this stuff. I see this marker and it's telling me, oh, that's going to be like 15 minutes to get to it walking. And I'm like, what? I'm like, oh my God, I'm not doing this.
Ferris tapped out.
Yeah, I tapped out. I didn't even see any creatures. All I saw was plants.
Oh, my God.
So, I don't know. Look, if I'm wrong, email me and cuss me out in the email or whatever. But to me, I didn't get it, you know. And that was my experience with No Man's Sky.
Well, congratulations, Paris. Slow-mo.
Yeah, Jesus.
Paris, I know you have a review for this episode, right?
Yes, yes. Our friends over at Steel Series, they sent me a care package last week. They sent over their top-of-the-line mechanical keyboard, the Apex M800. And they also sent over their top-of-the-line gaming mouse, which is the Rival 700. So I recorded a little interview, and I guess we can go ahead and play it right now. Or interview, review, excuse me. See? No Man's Sky, my brain is so slow. Nah, but yeah, let's play that review right now. We'll come back.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Back on the scene.
This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
Hey, this is Paris. Here with another review for you. I'm going to talk about a couple products from SteelSeries. I'm going to talk about the Apex M800 mechanical keyboard. I'm also going to talk about the Rival 700 gaming mouse. I want to thank SteelSeries for providing both of these products to us. And let's just go ahead and jump into that review. First up, let's talk about the Apex M800. Now, I'm not going to get too technical in here because you guys just care about the gaming portion of this, right? That's why we're here. We care about playing games and we want the best input devices possible to play those games on. And I'm here to tell you that Apex M800 is a top-of-the-line mechanical keyboard coming from SteelSeries, and it is very comparable with other products that you could get from Logitech or Corsair, for example. And as far as a mechanical keyboard goes, it's fantastic. I really like it. You have the full RGB LED illumination, which is customizable through the SteelSeries Engine 3, which you'll install on your PC. You can have custom profiles on there. You can customize your macros. The keyboard is using USB 2.0, things of that nature. Now, again, how does this thing work as far as gaming goes? I went and I played some Batman Arkham Knight using this. I also played some, CSGO with this, Counter-Strike. I don't know why I couldn't remember the name of the game. Counter-Strike Go as well, just to test it out. And I also did a little bit of Half-Life 2, just to kind of put it through its paces. And I also used the Rival 700 comparable on the games as well. But focusing on the keyboard, again, everything was smooth. I mean, the input of the mechanical keys were crisp and they were really good, very solid, had no issues at all. The actual build of the keyboard itself is fantastic. It's a very solid unit, sturdy on the desk, had no issues with that as well. Now, price-wise, the Apex M800 comes in right now. If you went to SteelSeries.com, it's going to cost you $169 right now, retail U.S. dollars. A little pricey, but again, this is the top of the line for what SteelSeries has to offer. This keyboard has been out since last year, and you know, it's tournament ready. It's what people are using. A lot of the pro gamers are using this keyboard right now, and you know, for the average gamer, it's going to more than suit your needs. So if you're okay with spending $169, I absolutely suggest going ahead and picking up that Apex M800. Now, spin it over to the Rival 700. Again, very comparable to some of the top of the line mice that you could get from Logitech or Corsair. Again, just laser focused mouse. It has the RGB lighting as well that you can customize through the SteelSeries Engine 3. You know, just using it playing games, precision was very nice. You can customize, you know, the speed of your pointer and everything. And, you know, like I said, from the average gamer's point of view, Could it be overkill? Maybe. But, you know, if you're going to be getting into tournaments and doing LAN parties and in the competitive scene, I mean, this is definitely one of the top of the line mice that you'll want to check out. Again, it's the Rival 700. This is the wired version that I reviewed. There's also a wireless version from SteelSeries you can get as well. And again, going to SteelSeries.com, the Rival 700 is currently retailing for $99. Again, at the higher end, you know, of the price spectrum when you're looking at picking up input devices for PC gaming. But if you want to be competitive, these are the type of devices that you want to pick up. Again, it is very comparable to some of the top of the line mice and keyboards that you could get from a Logitech or a Corsair. So again, go to SteelSeries.com, check out the Apex M800, which retails for $169. That is their mechanical gaming keyboard. And also the Rival 700 retails for $99. And that is their gaming mouse, top of the line for the SteelSeries. And again, if you want to shop around, I'm sure you can find maybe a few discounts if you went to Amazon.com, Best Buy, places like that, maybe even Newegg. But again, I was impressed. Both this mouse and keyboard have been out since last year. SteelSeries has not updated to a new line yet, but for the price and just for the quality of what you're getting, I more than think it's worth it. So if you guys got any other questions, hit us up, gamertagradio.com. Until next time, this has been Paris, and let's get back to the show.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
All right, so we're back. Paris, thank you for the review. Paris, I hope you're there. Paris?
No, I'm here. Okay, well, thank you. Thank you.
I'm just saying thanks, man.
Slow-mo.
Well, no, I'll just say again real quick. You know, I know I mentioned it in the review as well, but yeah, I mean, it's their top-of-the-line stuff, man. I mean, it's very comparable with their competitors as far as quality. Like, I have the Logitech 910 mechanical keyboard, and it's on par with that. I mean, virtually every feature, that customization feature that I have in that keyboard, you can do in that M800 as well. So, I mean, it's really nice. And I like that Rival 700 mouse. It's very responsive. So, yeah, it's pretty good. So I'll be curious to see, because those are last year's models. So I'll be curious to see if SteelSeries comes out with anything for 2016 this holiday.
All right. All right, so you're going to head over to GamertagRadio.com or play.it/GamerTag and listen to our past episodes over there. And also subscribe, post reviews, spread the word. You can find us on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and other podcast directories. You could also give us a call, 786-273-7GTR. That's 786-273-7GTR. Or email us, fanmail@GamertagRadio.com. Or go to speakpipe.com/gamertagradio. You could also leave a message through there. And it's time for fan mail.
Fan mail at gamertagradio.com.
Damn. All right, so we have a couple emails here. We have a lot of voicemails, but I want to save that for next week's episode. Can't wait to answer those questions. So keep it up. Keep on sending questions and stuff. Let's see what we have here. We have a lot. We also have a lot of spam, which I have to delete. Which email, guys, we should start off with first?
Actually, yeah, I got this one.
Okay.
All right, this message is from Rafe. Hey, Danny, Paris, and Pete. Rafe, pronounced Ray P-H. So I thought about it, like I was going to pronounce it Ray Puff, but no, it's Rafe. I actually played Uncharted 4, so I know how to pronounce it. So he's from Perth, Australia. Love the show. You help us get through the work day at the office, and Danny's interruptions always make me laugh. Yes.
Well, thank you.
Same with us. I discovered the GTR crew on Spotify just before E3 and have been blitzing through your catalog ever since. I'm listening to some of the older shows where Danny is talking about Battletoads. Do you think Rare have any Perfect Dark or Banjo games in development, or are they invested fully in Sea of Thieves until early next year? What are your thoughts on this? Do you think they could get one of those titles ready in time for the launch of Scorpio? Imagine Perfect Dark in 4K. I sold my Xbox One and upgraded to the S. The dashboard and 4K resolution and Blu-rays look great, but I'll be trading up again if we can get some good launch titles. Do you have any game predictions for Scorpio?
Well, it's funny we talk about this, right? They Paris.
Yeah. Miss Leo thinks you're gonna have a banjo at Scorpio.
Hey, darling, this is certified psychic Miss Leo. Here are Gamertag Radio's predictions.
I mean, it would make sense. They got to have something. They're going to have a solid launch lineup. I'm very confident Microsoft has some. Because what was I saying? That we're even thinking that Crackdown 3, that was part of the delay for that. Is yep. They're going to push it all the way back to be a launch game for Scorpio.
Hmm.
You know, so I personally, yeah, I would love to see Banjo. I have my fingers crossed at Banjo. Like, matter of fact, I'll go as far as to say this. If they were to come out with a Banjo game and said it was Xbox Scorpio only and I can't do Xbox anywhere and play it on the PC, I go get a Scorpio just to play it.
I'm lying.
I wouldn't really do
He's
that.
Not gonna do that.
I'd be very tempted to do so. I'd be very tempted.
I mean, it makes more sense for them to do Banjo because that's more for everyone. Perfect Dark is only for like the older crowd, you know? So I just don't see Microsoft working on Perfect Dark. But I could see them working on Banjo on the side besides Seed of Thieves. I see that. And the conversation I was having with Paris is that in 2017, Microsoft is going to go all out with this console. Probably going to have a lot of games that is also going to look better on the Scorpio. And if you don't plan to buy a Scorpio, you could play these games also on PC or your consoles. But I have a feeling that they're going to have a crazy lineup once this Scorpio comes out next year. Am I right, Paris? That's the conversation we were having the other day.
Yeah, that was it.
Yeah, I see that happening. So, all right, but thanks for the email, though.
By the way, because we didn't talk about this before we went to email, and I'm sorry, Pete. I just have to bring this up. I apologize. But we didn't talk about the fact that the Halo 5 Forge is coming to Windows 10 September 8th.
Yeah. I know we brought this. I kind of like talked about it if we wanted to mention that tonight before the show. But yeah, they're still moving forward with, what is it, Anvil's Legacy, which is going to be the ninth free DLC pack coming to the game. Do you think all this free DLC is enough to bring players back? Like all this constant content, like, is it enough? Like I know, Paris, you've been salted enough on it that you've essentially given up on Master Chief and anything else associated with it. Do you see yourself maybe with all this new stuff coming along with the potential of maybe now you've got Forge as a standalone app?
Well, I feel like I'm playing Halo 7 already, and the next expansion for that's coming out on September 20th because they're the real makers of Halo. But all jokes aside, I mean, it's interesting. I'm glad that they're doing all this kind of stuff. Like you said, I just got so salty with the Halo 5 campaign that it turned me off from it. I'm not saying never. I'm never going to come back to Halo. I like the fact that with this Halo 5 Forge and, you know, the community will be able to create all these maps and you'll be able to share them on Windows 10. So, I mean, technically, I could start playing Halo again, you know, now just on Windows 10, even before Halo 6 comes out. So, I mean, we'll see. I trust me. I keep my eyes open for Halo to see what's going to happen with it. Like, I'm sure there's going to be some crazy map that's going to be created that everyone's going to go crazy over and it's going to be shared out across the community. And I'll jump in and play it. Why not? I'll check it out. Maybe that'll be the 4K. Thing that gets me back in. Yeah, right. Maybe 4K, baby.
4K. All right, so here's another question. This is from Keith from Little Rock. He has a quick question for you, Pete and Paris. Do you guys use mechanical keyboards? If so, what type and what have you considered? Just curious if your gaming has improved using it. Keep up the great work.
You know what? I'm not answering Keith's message. You want to know why? Because he's the one that sent us an email talking about that Super Mario World was better than Mario Bros. 3.
On a with shirt.
That's right. And then when I called him out, he crickets. And he tried to slide back up in here with some mechanical keyboard questions. Nope. You respond to me about Mario. That's what I got to say. How about that?
Damn. Paris just dropped the mic on him, man.
Wow.
But to answer his question, I already answered it. I used the Logitech 910. And I dig it. I dig it. I definitely feel like, you know, again, going back to something like Civilization or whatever, the fact that I can customize, you know, like my macros and I can do, you know, different profiles with the keyboard. And just, again, the mechanical keys are very precise. you know, when you're striking them. Yeah, it's definitely better than just your average keyboard for sure. So if you can spend the coin, I would say invest in a mechanical keyboard. It doesn't have to be Logitech. Again, SteelSeries, the one I just talked about, makes a great one. I know Corsair makes some great ones as well. Well, and I'm pretty sure Razer does, but I've not checked out Razer, so I can't testify to that.
I'm still laughing about the Mark Brothers.
No, that's right, Keith. You can't dream. You dreaming. No, you know, Mario World. Crazy. Mario 3 is the GOAT. Hey, Mario 3 is the Miz to Daniel Bryan. That's what it is right now. Jesus. That's what
it is. Oh, ouch. And that's for all wrestling fans out there. Yeah. All right. Best promo in years, that's for sure.
And I use the Deathstalker Chroma from Razer. It's not a mechanical keyboard. It's a slim chiclet style. So it's very reminiscent of what, if you look at a Mac keyboard, you know, so they're like really thin keys and you can press it. I'm more comfortable with those. I know you could get other ones. I think it's the Black Widow, the Black Widow Chroma. Those are the mechanical ones that they have. And those are the actual chiclet the mechanical keyboards, was it Cherry or whatever? Those are probably your preferred ones when you're talking about FPS and MOBA style games. Logitech has them. I know I tried them out at the division event back in January. It's cool, but again, it all comes down to personal preference as to what you like and what you play or what you feel more comfortable with. So it's, again, it's personal preference.
All right, so let's read one more email. You guys have another one? We can wrap it up.
This one is from Jules. Hey, guys, I recently bought Overwatch for PC, and it's been fantastic so far. I can't wait for Season 2 to start and see where I'll rank. Anyway, I don't remember if you guys have any coverage of Overwatch. It seemed like a pretty big deal coming from Blizzard. Maybe I missed it. Have you guys played it? Any thoughts? Thanks again, Jules.
Am I the only one that has this game?
No, I've actually got it for PS4 and PC.
Oh, okay. Because I've been hooked playing Overwatch.
Yep,
it's a lot of fun.
No, it's a hell of a lot of fun. They just announce a new character? I think it's a 23rd character, Sombra.
And a new level, I think, too.
Yeah, so it's a lot of fun. I play with my friend from work on PC, and then every once in a while, I'll jump over on PS4. My daughter's actually come over and taken over my PC, and she's loving Overwatch. She plays D.Va all the time. D.Va. Yeah, she's
D.Va's dope.
I think it was two nights ago when we were all playing the raid, she got player of the game like two times in that one game session. Yeah, like she's hooked. Nice. Like she's like, she comes home from school and she's like, "Daddy, can I play?" And I'm like, "I need to do work." And she's like, "When you're done." It's like, I don't care if you have to work. I want to play Overwatch. And you know, that's a game that I had on my radar 2 years ago. You know, Blizzard being Blizzard kept a lot of that stuff close to the vest. Nothing really being shown at E3 or any of the major events, and then they just launched it and they just came out with fire. And it's a lot of fun, dude. It's a lot of fun, especially when you go into the private matches and you can do what's the private match that I did with my friend the other day? I think it was one character playing as Bastion, and then everybody else against Bastion. So you know, you can set up as, you know, obviously with Bastion you can set up and become a turret, and it's pretty much an auto kill. And yes, to this day Bastion is still OP in the game. But yeah, and it's like everybody against Bastion, so it's like 9-on-1 in a private match, and it gets really silly at you know, because you can like set up in a kill zone and just like mow people down as they come through. It's just a matter of how quick you can control Bastion. But yeah, we do it on PC. It's a hell of a lot of fun. I don't think I've seen a lot of my friends still playing it on Xbox when I do turn that thing on, because obviously I've been playing on the PS4 lately. But yeah, it's a good game. I highly recommend it because it's a lot of fun. Some people I think don't like it because it looks too cartoony, but I think that's what the genre may have needed to take it out of the seriousness of realism and everything else. So, but yeah, it's a must buy in my personal opinion. And I think
multiplayer wise, it's like one of my favorite games so far this year. Like,
absolutely. I would definitely personally put it in my top five.
Yeah.
For this year. Definitely. Potential GOTY.
Yeah. Anything else, guys, before we wrap it up?
I'll say this, and you may not understand what I mean when I say it, but when the show ends, you'll understand. We got an email from Dion. Dion, we're not going to answer that question today, but if everything works out, we will have someone on here to answer your question directly. Mm. He'll know what we mean. No one else needs to know, just in case it falls through.
Snap.
If you go read it, you'll know what I mean.
I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah. So just so he doesn't think we're snubbing him, because I definitely want to address this, but I think there's someone that's better to address it than the three of us.
Yeah. Question, okay. Actually, to both of you guys, have either of you picked up Deus Ex?
No,
because I'm a cheapskate and I'm waiting till it goes on sale. Because matter of fact, Doom is $20 right now, so I'm getting Doom.
Okay. Any
are you planning to get it though, Pete?
I don't know, especially there's shout out to Boomstick, because he sent us an email as well with regards to Deus Ex, and there's some confusion as to whether their DLC, if you bought the season pass, is actually coming through. So if you bought the season pass, which is $30, you were supposed to get an assault pack and a tactical pack as part of the package. But a lot of people aren't actually getting that when purchasing it. In this case, from the Xbox store, it's something that's supposed to be included with the DLC. And so, is it actually part of the DLC? Are they not doing it? And I would think that in 2016, that the DLC issue, especially after Evolve last year, DLC shouldn't be an issue these days. But things like that definitely, put games on the radar to not pick up, even though they may have been, highly touted or anticipated, going into the launch window. So I think I'm going to take a wait and see approach on this one, and hopefully I can turn in my late pass and appreciate it later on, like I did for Doom.
And Square hasn't said anything about this.
Yeah,
at all, right?
They've been radio silent on it. So I don't know if they've, put out an official stance on it. I haven't seen anything, hopefully it gets corrected, because I'd hate to see a game with a storied, history like Deus Ex gets these things.
Huh. Interesting. All right. Well, thanks, Boomstick, for the email and the news. And I think we should wrap it up right now. So next week, we're going to Call of Duty XP 2016. It's going to be a lot of fun. Paris is going to be there. I'm going to be there. P's going to be here at home checking our tweets. And we're probably going to be posting pictures from what was the place that you guys were at eating cupcakes and stuff like that?
Sprinkles.
We're gonna take pictures from there and send it to Pete.
By the way, USC now has a Sprinkles ATM 24/7. Oh my god! So it's like, look, Fat Burgers right across the street. You go on to campus, Sprinkles ATM. There's cupcakes and hamburgers all day in LA.
Return of Fat Paris, Pete, is real.
No, he could cheat here and there.
Ziploc bag, FedEx overnight. Make it happen.
Yeah.
No.
So, by the way, before we wrap it up, the other day, I was checking on Twitter. I noticed that Xbox had like a promotion for Madden that was coming out. They have some sweepstakes. If a random user win, they could pick a team, custom-made Xbox One S. So I was like, all right, let me check it out. So I found Paris' favorite team, the Bucks, and I sent them the link. I'm like, Paris, I think I see you buying or getting an Xbox One S with this, with the logo of your favorite NFL team. He replied, yuck, that will never happen. Paris, what happened?
You know what? Speaking on that, you reminded me of something else. The next person that tweets at me telling me how to spend my money that I'm going to buy an Xbox One S, I'm just going to block you. I'm blocking you. Done. Done. I'm just going
to
block you.
I'm going to Twitter right now.
I'm just not even going to respond. I'm just going to hit. I'm
going to send you a message right now on Twitter.
And I'm going to block you. No, it's dude, but all jokes aside, it's funny, man. Like people, and I know people are just messing with me, but it's so funny. It's like this one dude, he's like, I know you're going to get that Xbox One S. You're going to get it. And he was listing all these reasons why. And I actually had a response, but I was like, I'm going to look like an a-hole if I send this out. So I'm not going to do it. So I just deleted it, even though I was kidding. But yeah, people are hilarious, man. People love to spend other people's money. That's so funny to me. If you look, hey, if anybody out there wants me to have an Xbox One S, buy me one. I won't say no.
There you go. And you'll be happy. You'll be good.
I'll take it. I'll take it and I'll put it out in my living room and I will customize it and have your name on it. How about that? $299. I'll give you my address in the DM.
$299. Oh my God, man. All right, so let's wrap it up here. And I'm not going to even do an outro. I'm just going to say thank you for listening to GTR. We love you. Everyone worldwide have been listening to GTR and supporting us and sharing our content to the world. Thank you so much. And September is going to be a crazy month. It's our also 600th episode coming out, which, by the way, I'm working on some stuff. Big things, big plans, big things. And we probably will announce it once we get all the details and stuff. And that's it for my part. Pete Paris.
Jumping on Destiny. Let's go finish this raid.
All right. Paris.
What Pete said.
All right. Thank you for listening to Destiny Talk Radio. We're out. Peace.
Later.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.